Welcome to the Practical Enneagram. Licensed marriage and family therapist, coach for CP Enneagram Academy, mediator and Enneagram teacher Matt Ahrens went from consulting for Levi Strauss to California Institute of Integral Studies therapist. In the words of our mutual friend and previous guest, Dale Rhodes, everyone in Ennea world loves this guy. Having met him back in October for this interview, I can see why. We had planned to speak about how Matt built his successful career in the Enneagram as a marketing apprehensive type 9, but I've decided to keep that part of the conversation just for me and spotlight Matt's reimagining of attachment theory through the lens of the Enneagram. Matt has observed layers in each type's attachment style that can potentially help us to understand ourselves and our other halves better. He doesn't know if he wants to validate his findings through research, but like any good-natured nine, he is happy for others to pick up the baton. If you would like to speak with Matt about his theories on attachment styles or about being a marketing apprehensive type nine, you can currently contact him at the mattahrensgroup.com or through LinkedIn, links in the notes.
Attachment was something that came up in multiple classes. And I was always like, well, what the heck is, what is this? What is this theory? What are we talking about? And of course I was like, where does it fit in with the Enneagram? I should also say as an aside, knowing the Enneagram before going to psychology school was like cheating. Cause like case presentation or something like that. Like I could take little snippets of something and, oh, they're probably a four, and they could tell the story of four. And people are like, wow, that's great. It's not great. Just learn the Enneagram. You'll do it too. So I was, you know, reading all these different books about attachment theory. And there was one particular book called Sensory Motor Psychology, which is like a somatic-based psychology. Really interesting, great for trauma. And there, the description of the anxious, or I think she might have called it the anxious ambivalent. I read that description. I was like, that sounds like type two. Mm. And then I read the description of the avoidant attachment style. I'm like, that sounds like type five. And then I read the third one, which was about disorganized attachment. And I was like, I don't know what that is. That could be a bunch of different types. That's a little confused. Mm. And so knowing the Enneagram the way I do, I thought, well, it's not like it's only going to be one type that has attachment issues. Like all nine types are going to have attachment issues. We're just going to have different attachment issues. How does this fit in a way that makes sense? And it was great that there was three, right? Like three different. So the way attachment theory works in the field of psychology is that either you're securely attached or insecurely attached. And if you're insecurely attached, you're one of these three forms of insecure attachment. That's my understanding of the theory. And that's, as I was like trying to fit this into the Enneagram, some of that breaks down to the point where it really can't be called that theory anymore. So I was one that that's my warning is that what I'm about to say doesn't fit in with what is accepted as attachment theory in the field of psychology.
Okay.
I think that the heart types, the twos, threes, and fours, have a core attachment, what I call a core attachment of an anxious ambivalent. And so that comes up strongest when they are, when we're triggered. So the attachments associated with the center of intelligence is the first attachment style that we learned as babies. And it's where our deepest wounds are. So this is our wounded place. And our when we get triggered in relationship, this is where we go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the two, three, and four, it's a sense of kind of panic.
Mm.
And so then if we move over to the head types, the five, six, and seven, they're triggered, like wounded places, more the avoidant. When there's a attachment trigger, they're going to want to move away from connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what does that leave with the body types, the eight, nine, and one? And what the heck does disorganized mean?
Yeah.
And I think what it means is the simultaneous co-arising of the desire for both of those things. It's like you want both to be taken care of and left alone at the same time. And it's very confusing.
Mm.
There's also an energy there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of easy to understand how anger can arise from that. And anger normally, like I talk about anger as a boundary violation.
Yeah.
And so there's some of that in there too, but it's like, I want the connection, but then the connection I get is not the right connection. And it's like, it's strong. So that's the foundation that I came up with. And then I was like, well, all right. So why does the anxious ambivalence like seem like only two? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's because the adaptive style. So we don't all walk around in a triggered place or a wounded place. We have developed an adaptation. And this is where the Hornavian groupings come in. So that would mean that each of these three then get repeated in each of the three centers of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So the anxious, the two has an adaptive style that's also anxious of a connection, like also like the anxious ambivalent. But they aren't coming from a wounded place. They're coming from a more open place. And it's that, so they are the ones that create connection with others. But they do that as a way to adapt from the wounded place and also to not get wounded, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, like I'm going to get you to like me. And that way you won't leave me because you like me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the threes, they want to earn your respect. And they do things, and that's more of like an energy, and that like, so what I'm calling that a similar energy as the disorganized, both the desire for connection and the desire for autonomy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's an energy. It's almost like I'm moving my hands like a piston in an engine. You know, like there's movement that wants to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the four, it's the adaptive strategy. So the non-wounded place is more of an avoidant place. This is like that relates to like withdrawing into feeling emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you look at the stacking of that, like the core of the anxious and the adaptive of the avoidant, that creates that push-pull dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like I don't want you now because I'm fine. I just want to be my unique, wonderful self.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I feel you moving away from me and that triggers like abandonment things, then I want you. And so that's that forward, like push-pull dynamic.
Mm. Sounds like the move to two as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then, in that, the head type is a similar thing. It's like the five has an adaptive strategy of avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like the double avoidant. And then the six would have the anxious. So the loyal part of the loyal skeptic is that like the desire, like the, what I'm saying is like the anxious ambivalent, it's more like the desire for connection.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is another way of looking at anxious. This is probably a better way to phrase it to keep me safe from the psychologists who'd say I can't use attachment, is to say connection versus autonomy.
Mm.
Like the desire for connection versus the desire for autonomy. And so like avoidant is a desire for autonomy. The six, the wounded state is like the withdrawing avoidant state, but the adaptive state is more about the connection. It's like, so like the loyalty and the connecting with others. Whereas the seven then has like, they're the active ones. They're the ones that has that, disorganized. I don't have the other word for it. It's like the autonomy and the connection desire all at once, which creates that energy and moves them out into the world.
Mm.
And so sevens are sort of like avoid pain and avoid limitations. And that's that underlying avoidance core wounding.
Mm-hmm.
But and then it got the energy on top of it to move away from it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the body types, the eights, nines, and ones. The eights are the ones that with the energy, the power, like the so they become that sort of double, the double disorganized or the energy on top of energy, which makes sense. The nines have the avoidant or the autonomy on top. So there's like the disorganized, and then there's the, oh no, I'm gonna I'm going to move away from that. Like all that energy underneath, I need to move away from it. And then the ones are more like, no, I need to create the right connection. So it's like they've got the desire for connection on top of the sort of disorganized place, which leads to that desire to be one. All right, so that's the general thing. Then there's another layer on top where like the subtype. And this is where it gets a little bit.
I really want to hear that because I imagine that's really important as well. But before, I had always understood one attachment style, but you're saying widely understood in psychology that there are two attachment styles, right?
But like, I'm going to jump ahead to in my story and say, when I had this theory kind of percolating, I talked to one of my friends, Jack Killen, who's been working with Dan Siegel for a long time as part of his brain group. And Jack's like, you know, Matt, you should talk to Dan about this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I'll introduce you guys. You can like go to lunch sometime. I'm like, all right, well, I need to be in Southern California sometime soon. So we figured out a time for me to come down there. And I had lunch with Dan Siegel and I ran this by him. And at the end of our conversation, he said, this is really interesting. He said, you can't call it attachment theory. Attachment theory is a very specific thing. Right. Like it's been proven there are assessments for attachment styles. In fact, he did some research where he administered the assessment to at an Enneagram thing that the narrative did when David Daniels was still alive. And so he sort of mapped out what I call the adaptive strategy. Like that is almost exactly what he had as the adaptive strategy, but he had swapped 6 and 7. In the research that he did. And I said, well, I think that's because you're missing out on the core layer. If you understood the core attachment wound, then the adaptive strategy makes more sense. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that could be, but you haven't proven that. You need to prove that before you can say that. And I was like, okay, that's fair. So in the world of psychology, what is the generally accepted theory is that we are either securely attached or insecurely attached.
Mm.
I think that's wrong. And so that's the first thing that I would need to disprove if I ever decided to go back to school, which I probably won't. But I think it's more of a spectrum because I think that's how the Enneagram works. It's like we have these tendencies and then the tendencies can get extreme.
Mm.
And so it's sort of like mapping the personality disorders on the Enneagram. Like there is a mapping for that.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a 9 doesn't mean I have avoidant personality disorder, but it means that if I did get that level of wounding or something, if I was going to get one, that would be the one I'd get, but I don't have that because it's a range, it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful to understand that. So I think that we are all on a spectrum of all of these.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first way that I disagree with the theory. The second way is that what is generally accepted in the world of psychology, based on this assessment Dan Siegel was talking about, or which is like the adult attachments something, I can't remember, is that like that's really mapping the adaptive strategy and not addressing the core wounded strategy.
Yeah.
So like that's the other thing I'm presenting or I'm postulating is that there's different layers of attachment style and wound.
Yeah.
So what might be our core attachment wound may be the same or different than our adaptive strategy or style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that's where it gets a little different. For some people, they have the same. It's like for 2s, 5s, and 8s, which interesting makes a triangle, on the Enneagram, their wounded strategy and their adaptive strategy are the same strategy. But for the rest of us, we choose a different, we have a different strategy. Mm-hmm. When we're wounded, one thing happens. When we are adaptive, we're fine. That's definitely been true for me. Like, and it's been difficult in a relationship for my partners to understand that too. Like when I'm really upset about something, it's different than when I'm just day to day, you know,
right.
Sometimes I have a lot more energy and people are like, whoa.
So that was going to be my question. So when do these arise? The adaptive, what you call the adaptive strategies, which you distinguish using the Hornavian groups.
Yeah.
These arise when we're feeling okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the third layer is the subtype.
Subtype.
So the way I first try to visualize it is like a peach. You know, we have the core, then we have the, and then we have the skin. Mm. And so the skin is like another layer of how we present ourselves in the world. Mm. It might be the thing that people see about us before they come into contact with us. Like if you saw somebody at a distance, you may think, oh, they're really cool or they're really warm, you know, like they're approachable or they're not, or that person's intense. You don't know anything about their personality, but you can just see them and there's an intensity about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those are similar things at a different layer in our brains or something, our minds maybe is a better word. And so I think, and this isn't like I'm debating with other Enneagram people on whether that this is true, but I think the self-preservation is warm. That's more of the warmth is more of the sort of anxious style or the desire for connection. I want some connection, you know. The one-to-one is hot. Like they're the intense ones, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a little, that's more aligned with what I would say is the disorganized attachment, or like that intense, like the both. Like there's just a lot of energy there. I don't think that's an anxious, like I think it's an intensity. Mm-hmm. And then that leaves the social with being the more avoidant. Socials are connecting to the group. So those words, warm, hot, and cool, have been used to describe the type six subtypes, like the three subtypes of six. I think that's universally true. And I think it's a related, I think there's an attachment flavor to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like it's confusing for socialists because they will relate to the group.
Mm.
And so, and sometimes they will even perform for the group, like if, depending on their primary type, but they're not like inviting you to connect with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, there's something else happening there.
So let's put the three layers of this together. Let's take maybe who should we take, Matt? Pick a subtype of the Enneagram just to illustrate this in terms of the styles.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I could take mine, which is interesting because I'm all three. So like my core wound is that disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
My adaptive is the avoidant.
Yeah.
And my subtype is the anxious. So without this framework, it was very confusing for me to ever be able to relate to the theory of attachment.
Mm.
Because I was like, I don't know which one I belong in. Yeah. Because I could relate to each one of them in different ways. It was a helpful framing of it. Yeah.
Mm.
Like there's three types that have all three layers, all three the same, right? So like the self-preservation too is going to have that at each step.
Anxious. Yeah.
And the social five, avoidant, and the sexual eights of intense.
Yeah.
Look at it that way. And I mentioned like for the four, how that like can be the push pull.
Mm.
The six is actually the opposite. It's a pull push. So like they've got the wounded in the wounded place is more the avoidant, but when they're in their adaptive place, they're more the like connecting. And so when sixes get stressed out, they will want to be, but when they're really mad, they'll be alone. You know, like they'll blurt out and then they'll withdraw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine the answer, but what's the potential of this theory, Matt? Is it around, do you think attachment theory, or is it applied too simplistically in the field of therapy? And are you hoping to bring some more nuance to it with these Enneagram distinctions?
Yeah, I think there's room for nuance and room for understanding. I think it's, like if done right, which I'm not doing it right yet, but like if it were to be brought more into an academic world, it could add more validity to the Enneagram itself in a therapeutic way, which would be great, I think, for the Enneagram, but also just for everybody studying psychology and understanding human nature better. Mm-hmm. I think it could be huge for that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully help us understand ourselves and why we are certain ways in different circumstances and what we can do about it when that happens, like what we need, and also to understand our partners. So it's got a lot of application for relationship, because if we do understand this about our partner and we care about them and love them, and we can be supportive of that.
Mm.
One thing that happens with couples is a lot is one person gets triggered and then that triggers the other person. And then you've got two triggered people and they're not like, they're just not making any progress. You know, that's where therapy can help. Mm. And so if your partner gets triggered and you can see that they're triggered and you can remain untriggered, you help the relationship so much better. You help them, you help yourself, you help the relationship. And hopefully they can pull out of it and heal. Then that turns things around completely in relationships, because you're actually able to help each other heal and grow. Mm-hmm. And that's what relationships really are magical.
What's the place of secure attachment style in your model? Does it exist? Does it have a place in that model?
I think it's the goal. I think secure attachment is the goal for all of us. It's like, it's the potential that we all have in our own healing and in our own journey. And some people have easier childhoods and they tend to be more secure in their relationships as children and then in their adult lives too. But even with them, sometimes something can happen. And then it's confusing, and then it doesn't make sense. Why would I be like this when I had such a good childhood? And this can help them understand, well, it's kind of just how you're structured, and you can work through it and work better.
Mm.
Are you familiar with the ACEs, the adverse childhood experience?
I have heard the term. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's part of this too, in a sense. It's like, I don't think those adverse childhood experiences create our Enneagram type, but I do think if we have an adverse childhood experience and we know a person's Enneagram type, we can understand how those experiences impacted them.
Yeah.
It's not a cause and effect thing, but it's they happen together. And so it can be helpful in that way too.
And so how are you going to get it balanced? How are you going to get the research done on this?
And this is part of me being a 9, I think, and kind of similar to like the apprehension I have about marketing is also like, is this, what would it take for me to put this forward in the world? Part of the reason I wanted to talk to you about it is like, I'm to let other people take it and run with it, sense, because I think it requires some academic rigor that I don't know if I have in me, to be honest. Maybe I do, But I would like it to get to have more conversation about it and potentially more have some ideas on how it could be validated and like moved into more of the mainstream. Because right now it's not, like it said, it's not attachment theory yet. You know, it's Dan Siegel said, call it styles of relating. I'm like, all right, styles of relating. So
that's
these are
good. Yeah,
the layers of styles of relating that we have.
The next episode is with Cindy Leong, founder of the Enneagram Academy in Singapore. And we're going to be talking about all things dating, relationships, love, and the Enneagram.